are listening to Teacher Toolkit, supporting teachers, parents and students worldwide.
What I would like to leave as my dying contribution is my own life and the fact that I lived the life that I believe that I should. I was me.
We help teachers thrive and survive with classroom ideas, cutting-edge school resources, and research-informed teacher training materials. You will also hear discussions on the policy, guidance, and research-based publications.
This is Holly, editor at Teacher Toolkit, the most influential blog on education in the UK. The 2018 anniversary of the centenary of some women winning the right to vote in the UK inspired us to launch the 100 Women podcast series, in which we are interviewing 100 women working in the field of education or in the public eye in order to catalogue their lives, celebrate their successes, discuss the challenges they face, and discover what they would like to pass on to the next generation.
This week's interview is one Ross McGill did with Buki Youssef at the end of last year. Buki is an assistant head and director of science, and they discuss a range of topics, including the path that led her to be a teacher, the importance of teachers downing tools at the weekend and doing something you enjoy to protect your well-being, and how she implemented the use of mobile technology across an academy.
Hello everyone, this is Ross at Teacher Talk at the most influential blog on education in the UK. Today I'm with Buki Youssef. Buki, could you introduce yourself to our listeners and tell everybody what you do?
Hi Ross, my name's Buki Youssef. I'm presently a curriculum director of science, which basically means I lead a science department, and I'm also an assistant head teacher.
Okay, and what does your typical day look like?
Oh, right. Typical day would usually be waking up before my 5 a.m. alarm, processing the fact that I've actually woken up so early and hitting the ground running. I get to school. I aim to get to school before 8 o'clock. It takes me an hour to travel in, so sometimes I'm lucky, sometimes I'm not. But it's just making sure that I'm set for the day, my department is set for the day, having conversations with a variety of different people, students, staff, technicians, and things like that. And mostly just teaching and things like that, really. Meetings, teaching.
So full on, and being an ex-school leader, I totally understand the challenges that you go through. So tell listeners about your own educational background.
Okay, so being the eldest, I've got O-levels, I've even got GCSEs as well.
Okay.
A-levels in sciences, biology, chemistry and physics. I did actually want to do A-level English, but I got told at the time with the route I wanted to follow, which was pharmacy, no university would actually take me on board.
You mentioned being the oldest, what does that mean?
So I'm the eldest of four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have significant extra pressure? Or?
Yes, I felt pressurised to do really well. I think that was internal pressure as well as parental expectations in comparison with relatives. Went on to do a degree in pharmaceutical sciences at Greenwich University. Loved it completely. Did a master's.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was actually I wanted to go on to do a PhD. But then I stumbled across teaching. I did voluntary teaching for a year and thought, actually, I'm going to go down that route. And the rest, they say, is history.
Right. So how long have you been teaching now?
I have been teaching for about, I think about 21 years, actually. We were talking about earlier.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So 96, 7?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Same
that's
for
right,
me.
Yeah.
So what career achievement are you most proud of in your time in the
classroom? Oh, dear, there's so many different things. But I think one of the things I'm most proud of is being able to roll out the implementation of the use of mobile technology across an academy. It took 3 years, three and a half years to actually do that. And that was a lot of learning, but I managed to get different departments on board as well as staff, as well as sixth form students as well.
Any pitfalls, things that you wouldn't do again?
With that particular thing, right, what I would do is not doubt my ability to do it. I love tech, but I didn't feel qualified or, you know, to do it. And just not be afraid of taking risks. Just try things out, see what works, admit mistakes and just move forward, but keep reaching out as well to networks. I also want to put in another thing that I'm most proud of. A lot of my students have actually been successful in their GCSEs and A-levels, but I taught a set 8 of 8 year 11 GCSE group and I managed to get a student to get a C grade, and I'm really proud of that. That was one of my greatest achievements.
Okay,
as well.
Fantastic. And so let's just turn our thoughts to the greater picture in terms of education. Challenges, workload, mental health, et cetera, et cetera. Is there anything that you would like to see change in the system?
So there are so many different things. I think schools need to have more money invested in them, full stop. Mm-hmm. You know, we do a vital role, and I give credit to educators, school leaders, anyone that's involved in education that still is willing under these circumstances to make a positive difference to the young people that we actually serve. I think I'd also want to look at mental health, mm-hmm. More investment for that for our young people, as well as for staff as well. I think that the mental health and wellbeing and gender being raised in the last, say, like 5 years, we are discussing it, you know, about the issues and problems caused by mental health. I think there's more recognition in terms of the students we have, maybe not so. I think mm-hmm. there's reticence with educators, but making sure that, you know, there are open, honest forums in place for that discussion to take place, so and investment.
What one piece of advice would you give to yourself or someone in your shoes 20 years ago or starting as a trainee teacher from your background? Mm-hmm. Any piece of advice kind of in under the wellbeing mental health umbrella?
Worry less. Worry less. You get highs and lows in education. That's part of the role.
Yeah.
Safeguard the time for your own well-being and your work-life balance. So I tend to work so hard, and I think part of that is me mm-hmm. trying to prove myself. I don't need to do that.
So give us a tip for listeners. What do you do to protect that time?
I manage my weekends generally very well. So I think ahead, obviously, about what I've got to do in the working week. I use the latter part of the week to actually plan ahead as much as I possibly can. Saturdays, no matter what, I just down tools. So I might be in the back of my head thinking, I've got planning to do, I've got to do this, I've got to oversee that particular thing.
Yeah.
But I down tools for a day at least, and then see how my Sundays work out and actually give time to my nearest and dearest.
Okay. So 100 years of the woman vote. Mm. So centenary this year. What does that mean to you?
What it means to me is that why is it only 100 years?
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised that it's only 100 years. But it's just, and I feel privileged that I'm actually, you know, I exist in a time in which I can easily benefit from, you know, from the sacrifices that were made.
So you take your vote seriously?
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay. I think it's challenging sometimes to know who to vote for, but absolutely, yes. You know.
Any women out there that don't vote, you know, for whatever reason, I know context is key here, but what would be your thoughts there?
I can understand why some people may not want to vote. I do understand that. But I would also urge them just to take a moment to think about what was put in place, the sacrifices. Some women have sacrificed their lives to allow us to make, you know, like us to vote. So before you, if you decide I'm not going to vote, just consider that, you know, you easily have that choice to vote or not. Uh-huh. Some women gave their lives in order to get that particular vote. And I think that, you know, we forget that so easily. It's not our sacrifice. We've benefited from that. But we should actually give that right up so easily.
Okay. So let's fast forward 100 years or the time when you and I are not on planet Earth. What would you like to leave as your kind of dying contribution? And I guess a two-part question here. And where would you like to see women in 100 years' time?
What I would like to leave as my dying contribution is my own life and the fact that I live the life that I believe that I should.
You live by your values and you,
yeah,
what you believe
I was me. I took the risk. I don't often do that. I you know, it's like ebb and flow. There are some times in which I feel more confident in actually taking the risks and being myself, and sometimes in which I'm not. And I'd like to get to a point where consistently I am being me, whatever it is. I'm quirky, I'm diverse in terms of background, in terms of race, in terms of gender, I am. But I need to own that more. Okay.
Right, so we're going to do a quick fire. So give me three females that you would like to have around your dinner table.
God, my
dead
mother.
Or alive. Okay,
my mother, of course.
Mum's still alive with us?
Yeah. My mum's still alive, thank God. Yes, you know, she is a brilliant role model. And I'm glad that I can appreciate that now, laterally in my life.
Okay.
Who else would I? Oh,
two
God.
More seats to fill. And what's on the menu?
Thai. I love Thai food.
Me too.
Honestly, yeah. With plenty of fish cakes as well. Okay. Oprah Winfrey, I'm just curious.
Yeah.
I'm just curious about her life. I'd love to actually have, you know, spend an hour with talking to her. Brené Brown.
Okay.
Because of the fact that she, you know, the vulnerability that I allow myself now to display has come from reading her books. And being touched and being moved.
I've not read her books. So what does she write?
The Gifts of Imperfection. So it's about owning our shame. We all experience shame. Well, you know, we normally try to suppress it.
Yeah.
You know, the experiences, the negative experiences that we actually have, but just owning it.
Okay. Give me something that you've learned this week. Something new that's challenged you, shaped you, thought, oh, I better take that on board.
Gosh, it's been an interesting week. One thing that surprised me that I learned this week is the power of trusting your gut, doing what's right, and supporting other people as much as you possibly can. I had a situation in which I decided to help someone. I was meant to deliver on something. It took longer than I wanted to. So I said, look, because of this, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, which means that you'll have the resources in your class. I learned just how much value that acts.
Okay. What books are you currently reading?
Well, I've just finished reading a book, an Agatha Raisin book.
Okay.
Love, Lies and Liqueur, I think it was. Quite funny, actually. I'm going to go back to reading some educational ones. Were quite boring, actually, yeah.
Okay, and I've already asked you to have Thai food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So which female would you like us to interview next and why? Anyone you'd recommend that we could reach?
And do they have to be famous or anything like that?
No,
it could
just
be anybody.
Point us in a direction of someone.
I would, there's so many, but I would suggest you interview my friend Susan Kukungu. She is, she's a mighty man, she's a powerhouse, she's a tiny little lady, but absolutely passionate about education. Why I'll suggest to actually interview her is the fact that she's not a British-born educator.
Okay.
And I think it'd be really interesting to hear her perspective and experiences in that regard.
Right, so we'll come looking for her. Where can readers find out more about you, online or a blog?
Twitter, I tweet as much as I possibly can. My LinkedIn profile, I even got WordPress blog site, which I don't use as much as I should do.
Okay, but so yeah. How can we find you on Twitter?
My Twitter handle is at rondell10_b.
Okay, and we'll give you a shout out and link that to our blog for people listening. So that's it, Bucky. It's been nice to talk to you properly in a bit more depth about 100 Women. So thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Enjoy the rest of the podcast festival.
Thank you.
To people listening, you're listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more on our website. Follow us on iTunes and all the usual social media places using the hashtag TTKit100Women. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teacher Toolkit. You can find out more about 100 Years, 100 Women on our website, teachertoolkit.co.uk, or follow us on social media using the hashtag TTKit100Women.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To continue the conversation, head over to www.teachertoolkit.co.uk and our social media channels to access all the links and resources mentioned on today's show. Why not share this with your colleagues and give them the gift of time, reduced workload, and increased impact? Until the next time, before you look after your students, look after yourself.